We are in Joshua 3, and it's taken us a while to get there, but hey, it took the Israelites 40 years to get here, so it's only taken us 3 weeks. I do want you to think about this as we approach the shoreline of life. As we stand, you know, many of us go to the vacation at the beach, and we get up in the morning, and we see the shoreline, and whether it's a beach, a lake, of an ocean, whatever it is, I find myself many times just staring at it. Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning on vacation. I set my alarm on vacation. I get in trouble for that. But I'll get my alarm set, and I'll walk out, and I'll just want to see the sun rise because I just want to look out into the water. And this is where the Israelites are today. But listen to this. Can you think back on a time that you had? Can you remember a day in your life with great anticipation, with great excitement? As a child, I love Christmas. In fact, I still love Christmas. I can't sleep the night before Christmas morning. Maybe for some people, it's that wedding day, as it was for me too, or graduation. Or maybe it's that big game. Depending on the nature of that day, or maybe that morning before. How did you feel? What anticipation did you have? What excitement did you have before you? I would say that with that excitement, there was also some anxiety that came along with that emotion because of the challenges that you would now face during that game, during that marriage, during that life, whatever that looked like. You now have a challenge to face. The day has arrived. The day that you've been waiting for, days, weeks, months that you prayed for, is finally here. Can you imagine the anticipation and the excitement that Israel faced before they stood before the Jordan River? As they left Shittim and went on that day journey to go to the shoreline of the Jordan River. Years of anticipation. Every emotion that you can possibly think of, but in that excitement, there must have been some anxiety. As they viewed that swollen river and they looked out on Jericho and they looked out the land across from that river. Generations standing on the shoreline of the Jordan River, the sounds of raging water and the breaking of trees and sticks. They finally arrive to see what was before them, and they can barely hear themselves talk. Add some trees, add some sticks, add some junk to that river that's the spring floods, and they're going, this is where we wandered? Lord, this is where we are? That's the visual that I want you to see today as we approach this chapter. What's next? How would they even cross it? I would say this, life is often like that. Our hopes at the highest, there'll be challenges and obstacles that we face at the very same time. We just need to understand that we will face problems that we sometimes cannot resolve. Whether it's that exam tomorrow, or that conflict within the family, or that habit that you need to break, it just goes on and on. It's because we live in a fallen world, church. We'll face those issues. Along with our hopes and our joys, there's always problems, which we don't have the strength to stand on alone. We need to be what's called God strong. Many of those bands come out for the season of who needs to be strong. If we're not God strong, we will not be able to take that next step into what we'll learn today. Because there are many things in our life that are just too big for us. We can't handle them alone. But if we're God strong, as the Israelites are promised to be, this is what will happen. The battle, that strength, is really what Israel is being taught throughout this chapter. In fact, this chapter is sometimes called crossing the uncrossable. Crossing the uncrossable. But today, our title is called Willing to Follow. Are you willing to follow? It's our journey home. And we were told to pack it up and to work and to move and to be active on what we know to be true. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're on that shoreline and you're getting ready to face that obstacle or that challenge. You go, God, I don't know how I can do this. I'm here, but I'm not sure I can cross this river. Many ancient rivers were sometimes looked to be sacred. But the Israelites saw the Jordan River as an obstacle. They looked at the Jordan River as not something other than to be crossed, to overcome. And as they gazed at the promised land, as they looked across, their Jordan stood as an obstacle between where they were and God's promise. I believe both hold true for us. We sometimes focus so hard on that challenge. We sometimes focus so hard on that obstacle, on our challenges, our struggle, that we tend to worship them. Stick with me. We worship our sins instead of try to overcome them. Think about that. Our sin can be something that we focus so much on that becomes a worship. So we have a choice. Do we overcome sin or do we stare at sin without moving? We see that the Israelites got up early. Let me tell you this. This is the same spot that Jesus Christ began his ministry. Where they are going to cross is the same spot where John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ. So if you think about that movement, I want you to understand the ministry. Become a moment when we need to act on what God promises. Because if you don't act on what God promises, you will never cross your Jordan. And so we're going to walk through the verses today. Look with me at chapter 3, verse 1. And I'll skip around a little bit. Joshua got up early in the morning. Then he and all the children of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they spent the night there before they crossed. And it happened at the end of the 3 days that the officers went throughout the camp, and they commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the priest, then you shall set out from where you are, and you shall follow it. This is where they are, and this is where you need to see. How do we begin to cross this Jordan? How do we begin to cross the barriers? What is your challenge today? What is your Jordan River today that is speaking in your ears, that is overcoming your thoughts, that overwhelms your emotions? It begins first with the motivation of your eyes. To overcome the Jordan, it begins with the motivation of your eyes. What is the motivation behind what you see? Or what do you choose to focus on? Many times in our flesh, we look at things out of our lust. We look at things out of our desire. And when we do, it becomes purposeful. It becomes intentional. Joshua 3:3. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried, then you shall set out from where you are and follow it. God said, keep your eye on the Ark and don't move until you see the Ark move. It's important that we understand what the Ark was. So the Ark was carried by the Levitical priest, but it was 2 by 2 by 4. But in it, well, let's just say, it was located in the Holy of Holies, in the temple, in the contents in the Ark of the Covenant, so you understand that. Obviously, many know, but it held the tablets of what Moses received from God. It held the Ten Commandments. It also held what was called Aaron's staff that bloomed. But it had one other thing that held. It was the golden pot or a golden jar that once held manna. But more than that, the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant to us is a picture of Jesus Christ. What it did for the Israelites, it symbolized the holiness of God. It symbolized his righteousness. It symbolized his presence. To us, it's a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. Up until this time, the Ark had just been in the midst of the camp. The Ark had just been going when the Israelites would go. But now is a new day. They're coming out of the wandering. They're coming out of the wilderness, away from it all. They're approaching a new land. It's like when we become sedentary in our relationship with God. We expect him to move with us. God, come on, I'm going to have a busy day today. I need you to come with me. But when your relationship changes, there's transformation in your life. And you begin to move when God moves. You begin to move out of obedience. No longer is the ark going with them. They're going with the ark. Now the ark is out front leading them. And that's going to be the way that guided them to the way of victory. What does that show us? It's representative of us coming out of the wilderness into your future and where you want to be. It's moving with the ark. And if you're going to move with the ark, you're going to need to fix your eyes on God. How come some Christians get it and some don't? Because all Christians have the Lord Jesus Christ. All Christians have been given the Holy Spirit. But not all Christians are totally following Jesus as Lord. Sure, they have them in their life and they go to church, but he's not in front leading. He's just coming along with you. So I ask you the question today, what position do you hold Jesus Christ? Is he first in your life? If you're a believer in Jesus, and the question, are you following him? Is he up front? Because the Lord says, hey, look, fix your eyes on me. Fix your eyes on me. I will lead the way. The important thing for you to know is not to know what the future holds, but to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ as he leads you into your future. And why do I want to say that again? I said that back on October 11th, 2020. On Reveal Sunday, I gave this whole message on who holds our future. I'm going to go back there again. Jeremiah 29. We know 29:11. We know he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. But look at verse 12. This is what God is saying as he leads the Israelites. Then you'll call on me. And you will come and you'll pray to me. And I will hear your voice. And I will listen to you. And then you will seek me and require me. And you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. It says here, however, there shall be a distance between you, about 2,000 cubits or 3,000 feet. Is what they have to keep the distance between the people and between the ark. About a half a mile is a distance between them and the ark. There are a couple million people there. And if the Israelites had just crowded out that ark, how would they have known who to listen to? There'd probably been 12 committees, all kinds of opinions on what to do next. But God goes before them and said, look, you got to keep a distance between me and you. I want you to keep well back. And I want you to keep your eyes on me. And I want you to follow me. As Christians, we should not be anxious to push in on God because he knows the way he's taking us. We can sometimes feel this is a very scary process. But we need to give him room. And give him space and allow him to use us where he wants to use us. And the fact that they're so far back, 3,000 feet, goes to show two things, many things probably, but allows them a respect between them and God. And it also allows a space between them and God. Because if there were lots of people surrounding that Ark of the Covenant, the people in the back would see nothing but people. And how many times do people come between you and your relationship with God? Because we focus so much on what somebody else is doing with their relationship that sometimes we forget that it's personal with God. We get so caught up with what others are doing that we forget it's personal. It matters what you do. So if you're willing to follow, the first thing you do is you have to focus. Is there anybody in here not willing to follow God? I was hoping I wouldn't see a hand. The next thing you do is, if you've committed to follow, he says, clean it up. You got to clean it up. Verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, and some Bibles will say sanctify, and some will say consecrate. yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I'm going to focus on consecrate. It's a little more active at the moment, but I'll clear both up. For believers today, crossing the Jordan represents passing from one level of Christian life to another. It could be remembered as a picture of you entering into spiritual warfare in your life. And this should mean the end of a life lived for you and the beginning of a life lived for Him out of faith and obedience. You see, God's about to move in powerful ways and lead them across this Jordan. But I love the instruction and the charge that Joshua, God has to the people. It says, consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourselves. Remember, as Alex said earlier, it's setting yourselves apart. It's examining yourself to strive for holiness before God. Why? Because tomorrow, the Lord's going to do amazing things. Amazing things. Get ready for God to work among you. Do you leave here going, I am so ready for God to work among me? What a promise. We have that promise. I mean, don't you want to live that way? I want to live that way. I want to live that way every single day of my life. We should say to ourselves, God, I want to see you work in powerful ways every day. And so allow me to consecrate myself. We should strive to continually do this. God, set me apart. God, make me holy. I pray this for my family. I pray this for me. I pray this for a church. I say, God, we want to see wonders. I want to see you move in powerful ways in my family. I want to see you move in powerful ways in the church. Consecrate yourselves. Set me apart from this junk that I bring to church every day. Strive for holiness. And this holy is a state of being. It's not a state of doing. It's a state of being. It's God-produced, God-developed character that grows as we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our part is to consecrate ourselves. Set yourselves apart to be holy and usable by God. In other words, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, you need to confess it. It's until then that God will use you. He will not use you until you set yourself apart from what's bearing you down. It says, consecrate yourself. But the meaning of this command goes deeper. It also means prepare your minds, prepare your heart to hear from God. It means we recognize that we are to live for Him. Listen to me. It means, God, my heart is ready for you to talk to me. I've come to church today, or I've arrived to the river, and I need to hear from you. And God said, fine, if you want me to talk to you, you need to set apart that stuff that you brought. You need to set apart that raging river. You need to get ready for me to work. Because when you set yourself apart, it's then when I begin to work. In reality, our life is so rushed that we can barely hear the voice of God. We need to build that time in our life to listen, to read God's word, to understand what He's saying, and then obey. And I feel like you hear me say that every single week. But many times we argue about a situation. God, can you not see what's going on in my life? Believe me, He can see. It's up to us to trust and obey. We do our part by setting ourselves apart, and then God becomes very clear of His part. Why? Because tomorrow, I'm going to do amazing things for you, Israel. We know for sure that it's not we ourselves who do the amazing things. You heard that from Heather. Only God can do those amazing, supernatural things. Only God can change the hearts of men and women. Only God and the Holy Spirit can pierce the heart of a family member who is on a path to destruction. But as family, we set ourselves apart to be used by God to be a model. As we consecrate ourselves and make ourselves available for Him to use us, we will be able to watch him do amazing things. If each one of us wants to be used by God, we need to prepare to be used by him. By what? Consecrating ourselves. That means, church, the same holds true for each one of us here. I believe he has good things in store for our today. And I believe he had good things in store for our tomorrows. Perhaps wonders. But it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to fall and say, hey, look, God's going to do miracles no matter what we do. We have got to consecrate ourselves every day. And it starts today. So we can see his miracles and watch him do amazing things. I heard it once said by, I think it was Vince Lombardi. It may have been Bobby Knight taking that from Vince Lombardi. But it's a quotation that says this: the will to win is not nearly as important as the will to prepare to win. I'll say that again. The will to win is not nearly as important as the will to prepare to win. Leaders of families, are you setting yourselves apart on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Prepare to watch God move in your family. It's one thing to say you really want to win. It's another to say, I will have the preparation to win. I will exercise and I will practice. I will put on the preparations that are necessary throughout the year to win that championship in life. You see, a team might have the will to win, but when it comes down to the fourth quarter, if they had not been giving or having the will to prepare to win by getting in good condition, by doing through the drills, they run out of energy. And their will to win will falter. It's not the will to win that matters as much as the will to prepare to win. The same is true for us today. If we want to consecrate ourselves before a holy God, prepare for him to do something special among us, we need to make sure that we're obeying him in every area of our life, in every area of our life. And not mixing in those polluted habits that nobody else can see, that don't reflect the life of being set apart. It's practicing in the everyday areas of your life. So when the challenge comes, whatever it is, you're ready. And you're not overwhelmed. Consecration is the decision to be set apart. Sanctification is something that takes place over a believer's life. We consecrate to God by sanctifying our lives. You with me? We consecrate to God by sanctifying our lives. And to do this, a decision must be made to step away from the mess and to give God your very best, whatever it looks like. It's not living a life of perfection. It's just living a life through persistence. And many times we say, man, Chuck, my life is just all messed up. God, doesn't matter. It's living life through the persistence and giving God all you can and then watching his best through your life. The sanctification begins the moment that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. And here we move on to what I love is the most exciting part of the passage in verse 8. It says, now here, after they've arrived at the Jordan, after God said, here, watch me, because when I go, you need to go. But set yourselves apart, because what I'm about to do is going to be amazing. And in verse 8, you shall command the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. You shall stand still in the Jordan. This is the manifestation of your faith. Remember, here's the difference between Moses crossing the Red Sea and Joshua and the Israelites crossing the Jordan River. Remember, Moses tapped on his staff and the Red Sea parted before them. They always were on dry ground. But here Joshua says, God says through Joshua, we need you to step in the water. Get your feet wet. Take that step of faith, and then you'll watch God move. And then watch those waters recede. Understand this. Focusing on the Lord is essential. And consecrating yourself to the Lord is vital. But we will never cross the river You will never cross the river unless you take that step of faith. Our eyes and our hearts can be right on. But if we don't move our feet to the challenges, we'll never progress in God's work. We must commit our time, our energy, our money, our lives to what God is doing, or it won't happen. I believe we all have a Jordan River. I believe we all face a Jordan River. Something that holds us back from our mission. Something that holds us back from the promise that God provides us. Something that holds us back from the destination. Do you trust God enough to get your feet wet? To take that first step of faith? Although we prefer that God hand out long-range plans, he doesn't promise that. Instead, he asks us to respond by taking a step of faith, trusting that not only he is in our present, but he also goes ahead of us into our future. Today in life, I believe there are many Jordan Rivers. And it holds Christians back from taking those next steps. For some, it's a job. For others, it's a relationship that doesn't glorify God. For others, it may be an addiction. Maybe in a disobedient heart. Or even a fear of what tomorrow will bring. But no matter the barriers that we face in life, we must make a decision. You're going to trust that God controls everything, including those challenges that he sets before us. Are you willing to step out in faith? Or have you decided just to stay on the east side of the Jordan and miss the opportunity to watch God do powerful things in your life? Let me quickly add something here. We know there's a factor in their trust as they went on into verse 8. You shall stand still in the Jordan. Why? Why were they told to stand still? Because they were waiting on the power of God. In all their movement, in all their pursuit of the promised land, they had to maintain dependence on God. Their standing testified to the fact that everything would come from God. They were acknowledging that it wasn't their work that really changed anything. It was God. And God alone. So they stepped out and they stood still. We read in Psalm 114, 3 through 7, I'll paraphrase. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams to hills, like lambs. Why was it, sea, that you fled, O Jordan, that you turned back? We're told here as they stepped into the Jordan River and the waters receded, the waters were pushed back into a heap, back from the point of which they were crossing. Here's the cool thing. It went all the way back to the city of Adam. To the city of Adam. Now, there's no archaeological evidence they can find of where this city exactly was, but they believe it was about 16 miles back from where they crossed the Jordan River. Of all the cities, they reference going all the way back to Adam. Reflection. When we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, when we surrender and step foot into our Jordan River, our sins are pushed back throughout our entire life. Everything. Jesus Christ died for those who believed in him all the way back. This Jordan River in our lives, this mess that stretches before us, these challenges are too much for us. So here are some urges. I urge you to believe that nothing is too difficult for God. I urge you to focus on all we have on Christ. I urge you to follow Jesus. I urge you to cast all your sin and set yourselves apart for him. And I urge you to move, to step, for you to see him work in your life. As the people watch the waters recede before them, before they even crossed, it showed an active step of faith. You see, active faith requires you to participate. I've heard it once or twice said that faith is not believing in spite of the evidence, it's obeying in spite of the consequence. There are many of us that will feel that dry ground. We'll watch the water recede. Listen to me. We'll watch. We'll take that step of faith. Yes, I'll commit my life to Jesus Christ. We'll take that step of faith. And we'll see that water recede. But there's just something about that water that we just want to walk to. Don't we? I mean, we say, Jesus, take it all away. Take the mess. Take the destruction. And as we take that step of faith, why is that water so important to us? We forget to see the way that's been pointed out right in front of us. John 14:6. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Don't look at that stuff anymore. Don't watch that stuff recede. I have taken that away. Take the step of faith. Follow me, God says. This event calls me back to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Since we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified to the truth, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance the race that sets before us, focusing our eyes on Jesus. Today, I feel like many of us are standing on the shoreline of our Jordan, and we're hearing that raging river of those things that are going wrong in our life. And God said, if you just look at me, I will show you the way. If you just take that step, I will provide the way. I already have. His name's Jesus. So picture the obstacles. Picture those challenges in your life today. Picture that sin in front of you. But then God says, take your eyes off that. Watch me. I'll provide the way. I will dry those waters up. We only just need to step in and step forward. Who is standing at their Jordan today, ready and willing to take that next step into the life that God has promised you? Step away from the receding water and step into his glory. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for a life that we have before you. The offering of a life is to step out in faith and to stand still in obedience and to fully depend on you. Father, I feel like there's many in our church today and many in the community today thinking that we have to have this cleanup life in order to see progress. Father, we just need to commit our lives to you. And what we have struggles, we have noises, we have challenges. And so, Father, if there are those here today that are just overwhelmed by choices to make in life, I pray that they bring them to you. I pray that they take that step out and that step forward to say, Jesus, I can't do this alone. I've got to focus my eyes on the author and the perfecter of my faith. So if today you're struggling in your relationship with Jesus, I invite you to intercede or come forward today. And just give him your mess, because he just asked for your best. Maybe today there's those who are just anxious to join a family of believers. I pray that however the Spirit leads you today, that you don't sit back and leave here with a question, but you come forward today with the answer. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us where we are, Lord. Now allow us to bring them to you today. Make that decision to follow Christ. And pray this in my name of Jesus Christ. Amen.